Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
Welcome to the MIP. This week on the MIP report, the NFL schedule is released. Aaron Rodgers still talking about getting released. And tell your friends, I'm not reporting to the Green Bay Packers, but Tim Tebow is being reassigned and looking to sign with his NFL buddy over there in Jacksonville. Oh my God, there's a lot to get into on the MIP report. Also, our guest this week is the head coach, the man that stirred it all up during the draft, the head coach for the San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan. And wow, what a conversation this will be. You do not want to miss that conversation. But now let's jump right into it, because I'm so excited about it all. Y'all know what time it is. Let's do this. Yes, that's right. First story in the MIP report today. And I got to jump all over this, because as soon as this schedule was released, I'm on the show, doing the show, the release show, and this tweet comes across, and you better believe it, from Stephen A. Smith. See, this is the kind of nonsense that absolutely disgusts me at Michael Irvin, at NFL Network, WTH. Have the at Dallas Cowboys done to get opening night billings versus the reigning defending champions at Buccaneers? What? What happened to actual merit? This is the problem with America today. What are you talking about, Stephen A? What are you talking about? This is the reality of America today. Using America's team to help America get back out of this funk we have been in for the last year and a half, without having fans in the stadium, without everybody being able to get together and gather together. You know what? I was at that fight the other night, right there at America's Team Stadium, AT&T Stadium, the Canelo fight, 75,000 people, and everybody was just there chilling. A lot of people didn't have a mask on, and a mask wasn't required. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm going to tell you something, man. I ain't lying. God knows I ain't lying. It was something to be there. I don't know what that, it was something to be there. It was something to actually see that again for the first time, to look out, because you don't know how much you miss it and how much it meant until you step back in it again and you say, wow, I've been deprived of this. I've been deprived of it. It was incredible. So I know this moment will be incredible in the NFL, putting the Dallas Cowboys right here on this opening Thursday night football game versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tell me they get all of what I'm talking about, because all of everybody will be tuned in week one to start the NFL season, to see everybody back in those stands. And it'll be a message to all of us. Yeah, we got hit in the mouth. We staggered a little bit. We stumbled. We may even have gone down to one knee. But we back up, baby. We back up, and it's going to be popping like I don't know what. And on the other tip, the Dallas Cowboys get a chance to see where they are measured right now. Last year was a fluke for the Cowboys. Those kinds of injuries in the most critical position on a football team, you're talking about the offensive line and then the quarterback, that's a fluke. Now, what happens after the fluke? I always say, what did you do with the fluke? Or another way of saying it is, you had a mess Now can you turn it into greatness? I had a mess. Now can I turn it into greatness? Last season was a mess because of injuries. But now, if I take last season, we all get healthy. And because of all the injuries, maybe we get a kind of opportunity on a schedule here. You get a schedule that's not as tough because the Cowboys got like the third strength of schedule, like the third least strength of schedule. I mean, the easiest schedule is what they're talking about. So now that's all part of the mess was last year. How do I turn this into something great? How do I say, okay, this could be a great jump? Now you start off as Dallas Cowboys and somehow you can walk them and you beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you walk away saying, oh my God, that hype train for the Dallas Cowboys goes to a new stratosphere. It'd be incredible if they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then get this. This is what's important about this. You won't have this thing that every other team had built in after winning a Super Bowl and then coming back the next year. You play that team. Usually, even if you beat that championship team, people are going to say, well, it's not the same team because, you know, a lot of players didn't sign back and all. No. They signed everybody back. Everybody. So if you beat Tampa in week one, oh, my God, you just told the world that you're going to be champions. You just told the world that you're going to be champions. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to, but now even if Dallas loses this game, but they play a great game, they still told the world, we want a chance being champions. If Dallas just lose the game, because they got all their starters back, Tampa does, everybody's going to say, all right, you know, it's not a bad thing. The opportunity is there to do something great. To do something spectacular and to start a season on fire. Nobody is going to give Dallas a chance to win that football game. But I think Dallas will have a chance to win that football game. That's going to be incredible. Let me tell you something else, guys. And I said this last night, too. Week four, when Tom Brady returns to New England, oh, my God. I don't know that we've ever that week one game is going to get ratings out of the head because everybody's coming back. Like we talked about, it's going to be so crazy. The only game I can see that can possibly top that game. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm talking about over the next 5 years. I'm not just talking about this year. I'm talking about the only game I see right now that could possibly top that number one, that first game, Dallas and Tampa, is going to be this week four game. We've never had anything like this. Tom Brady returning to New England. Never, ever. You can pick out all the great ones. Pick out the LeBron James returning to Cleveland after he left. Wasn't the same, you know. I don't even think he had championship by the first time he went back, and then he went back plenty of times. You go back to Michael Jordan leaving Chicago and going to play with Washington. He came back the first time. They lost the first game. He came back and played, and he went back and played a few more times. This may be the one and only time Tom Brady plays in New England, the one and only time. And after all of those years and all of those championships, to go away and win a championship in his first year, now to come back, oh, my God, nothing like it. I talked about LeBron and Jordan. When Jordan left and that thing broke up, that was with the Jerry brothers, right? Krause and Reinsdorf, right? So even when he came back as a Wizard, he didn't have the Jerry brothers on the court. So it wasn't a real revenge game. He ain't dribbling around Krause and dunking on Reinsdorf. He ain't doing that. You know what I mean? And so when LeBron left, Dan Gilbert wrote the note. Dan Gilbert, we'll win a championship before you do. You never should love, you know. And when LeBron came back, Dan Gilbert ain't get his big butt on the court. He counted his money somewhere. He wasn't on the court. LeBron ain't, you know, alley-oop on him, bam. You couldn't do that. But Tom Brady, it was Tom and Bill Belichick. And Tom has left, and he's coming back. And the man he had the problem with is the man he's about to face on the football field. is Belichick's defense against Tom Brady's quarterbacking. Folks, we've never seen anything like this ever before in our life. That schedule, that's going to be heaven right here on earth. I can't wait to see that. Week 5 at Bills at Chiefs game. That's another good game. That right there, maybe a little preview. Some may say the AFC Championship game right there. I know Cleveland may have something to say about that. Week 9, Green Bay at Chiefs. First time we'll get Aaron Rodgers. If we'll get Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, too. If we have Aaron Rodgers. But let's just call it this. It's the first projected chance I'm supposed to get to play, see Aaron Rodgers play against Patrick Mahomes. And I want to see that game. That would be to see Aaron Rodgers against Patrick Mahomes. We've never seen it before. Now Aaron Rodgers played against the Chiefs in 2019. But remember, Matt Moore was playing quarterback. Patrick Mahomes was hurt when Green Bay beat the Chiefs a couple of years ago. But now I want to see them both on the field in week 9. I want to see that. Week 13, I want to see Joe Burrow go up against Justin Herbert. And since he hosts the Chargers, I want to see that in week 13. That's going to be great. Those young quarterbacks, two young great quarterbacks. And I think for the rest of our days, even though they didn't go 1-2, those two dudes are the two dudes people will be saying, who do you think was the best quarterback in that draft? It'll be out of those two dudes. Those two dudes, they'll battle for a long time. And at week 14, there's Bills at Bucks. Bills in the Bucks fan base think hopes. That is also right there a Super Bowl preview. Y'all, I left out that week 11 game. I just left that Cowboy Chiefs game out week 11. I ain't throw that in there. I ain't going to tell y'all that there may be a Super Bowl preview. I just left that at that. All I'm telling you is we got a lot of great primetime games with a lot of great stories behind the games that we are talking about. So I'm looking forward to that NFL schedule. The NFL has done it again. And watch this thing here continues to grow, man. This NFL schedule show. We got an NFL schedule thing. The NFL's just incredible, man. The way they just kidnap days into other people's season. Doesn't matter that the NBA is getting ready for a playoff. Whatever. We just gonna kidnap this day and call it a schedule release day. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing, man. But we were all tuned in. And then all the phones for all the airlines and all the hotels. Once you release that schedule, those phone lines light up because everybody starts making their vacation plans and travel plans around the NFL schedule. That's how great that NFL stuff is. It affects everything we do. And it really does. I'm just telling you. Hey, let's get to story number 2. Aaron Rodgers. Folks, let me tell you something now. There's a lot in this. Aaron Rodgers, what's going on between Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay Packers? We hadn't had a chance to really dive into it, but there's a lot into this, man. And I know a couple weeks ago we talked about what's going on with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. You know, but things were different between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks and what we're dealing with right now with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. You see, the Seahawks, they haven't had a Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, the best thing God has ever sent to Seattle at the quarterback position, period. He is the best quarterback in Seahawk history, bar none. So for them, this is a first. They have to try to figure out how to work this out properly. And I got an answer for that. I'm going to help them with this in a minute. So when you see the Seahawks and Russell make up, I don't want you to grab hope for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Let me tell you why. Russell making up, don't grab hope that Aaron Rodgers can make up. Russell Wilson's a different thing, and Russell Wilson used it to set power. I really think he never really had and he hopes to leave. And Russell Wilson is the one and only, and it's a new situation in Seattle. Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, he's just the next. They gotten rid of great quarterbacks before. He's just the next. Seattle ain't never really got rid of a great quarterback. They ready to just do what they need to do to keep him happy. But this is what Green Bay has done. They've always prepared to move on. So you were able to mend it back together in Seattle. You're able to put it back together. Right now, we don't even hear anything about Russell being upset, hurt, the thing working together. And let me give Seattle this quick advice. Let me tell you how you think it should work, how I think it should work. I think Russell got another 6, 7, 8 years in him. Maybe even more. Pete, don't fight that. That's your quarterback, Pete. You quarterback him until he retires. And then when he retires from football, that should be about the same time you should be retiring from coach. And then Russ just leave the quarterback position and becomes the head coach. And both of y'all stay in matrimony forever. And then you go to consulting position as you help him head coach because he's a first-time head coach. That's really what he wants, I'm telling you. That sounds like a great idea. Y'all, get my address and send me my consulting fee for I just fixed the problem in Seattle. You don't even have to have that problem. Send me my check. Just sit down and tell Russ you're going to make him a lifetime Seahawk, buddy. This is what we're going to do. We're going to play you. You're going to be the quarterback until you're ready to retire, and then we're going to get you the head coaching job. We're going to work with you on the decisions right now because we're prepping you for the position. This is how you can make it all work. So now you got that going because y'all are new together. Y'all should be staying together. In Green Bay, things are different. Green Bay, things are different. And I'm going to give you this, guys. I always said this. I ain't going to hold you long. I just want to tell you this, though. There's one barometer that I measure all people that I engage with in any way, rather it's on a personal level or on a professional level. We're doing business together as business partners. You're investing in anything. I'm investing in something you're doing. There's a barometer that I always use to determine if I engage. And the barometer is this. I'm going to give you a little piece of my secrets here. I always say, any person or any man or woman, any person that can have a fallout with his mother and not speak with his mother or not make up with his mother or not make it okay with his mother and can stay away from his mother, I got no dealings with you. I got no dealings with you. I don't care what your mama did. I don't care. This is your mama. Do you understand? Wait a minute, listen. She had to figure out your needs from noise. When you, oh, you hungry, baby? Okay, let me get you something to eat. Oh, your diaper wet. Oh, let me change it. From noise. You weren't talking. You couldn't talk. When you did from noise, she had to figure it out. How can you be mad enough to never talk to her now that you can talk after she had to figure everything out from noise? Oh, my God. I'm telling you, this is a pet peeve of mine. Call it what you want to, but if you can't make up with your mama, I'm scared to do business with you. And from what I heard, Aaron Rodgers and the family fell out. Green Bay. Go throw yourself on the mercy of the court. Because right now you got no shot. When a guy didn't make up with his mama, he really ain't steadying you. I'm just telling you this right now. That's the kind of dude that'll hold something dear in you. That's why I'm just saying it'll be hard to make things right in Green Bay. And there's a huge difference between Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers in Seattle and Russell Wilson. Don't even connect the two. And I went into my personal stash to help y'all with trying to understand human behavior. You better look at these things, man, when you start to make decisions on who you're trying to connect to in any way. I gave you some of my personal stash. Now let's get to this third story. Tim Tebow. in Jacksonville signing to play tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Couple things here that I got to jump off into. The first thing I want to jump off into, and I want to put a bid to and a rest to it, is this Colin Kaepernick thing. This is totally different, guys. Totally different. Let's be real. I know people out there saying, well, you know, Colin Kaepernick's still waiting. Like, no. First of all, Tim Tebow isn't even playing quarterback. So that makes it different. Second of all, and I'm going to say this, if somebody offered Colin Kaepernick a job at another position, like Tim Tebow just got offered a job at tight end, man, he'll be up there next to the KKK leader. They'll make him the racist dude in the world. The hood can't believe you did that after Colin Kaepernick's sacrifice. So, this is not apples to apples. We can't even discuss this, the Colin Kaepernick thing, you know, in respect to the Tim Tebow sign. You can't even do it. And anyway, I like what everybody's doing, guys. I know what it takes to turn a franchise around. I hit on this before with you guys, you know, talking about Travis Etienne signing him with a first round pick as a running back. And everybody's saying, why would you do that? And I said to you, it's important when you're turning a team around, like he's turning around the Jacksonville Jaguars, to have your guys making sure they give your message in the locker room. And the greatest guys that will have the most voice are the guys that are carrying the football in a locker room. Jimmy Johnson had me before he got there. And then when he got there, the first person he drafted was Troy Aikman and then Emmitt Smith. All of us are ball carriers and we're carrying his message, not just the football, but we carry the message on setting the locker room. And he needs to get guys in here to set his locker room, especially when it's a situation where they've been losing so much, because when things don't go right, they're going to gravitate back to their norm and start murmuring in the locker room and expecting to lose like you have been losing for so long. But you got to have a strong voice in the locker room to say, no, this is not like before. The results are not going to be what they were before. And we're going to march to this beat. You got to have that or you have no shot. You got to have it. And you get it with those two young guys that you draft. You get it with the guys you bring in. And Tim Tebow will help you with it. Now, if Tim Tebow was anybody else, I mean anybody else, you had any kind of stink on you, any kind of way, I'm going to say don't do it. But Tim Tebow ain't got no stink on him. He ain't got no kind of stink, no kind of issue, no problem. You can't be around Tim Tebow and say you don't like him. I'm telling you right now, he's a good friend of mine. You can't be around this man and say you don't like him. Even if you get around him and hang around for 5 minutes and you try to speak it out your mouth, I don't like him, your mouth won't even work. That's how good this dude is. Your mouth will, I ain't going to let you say it. Your mouth will stop you from talking. I'm telling you. It's good to do good like that. So he ain't gonna cause no problem in the locker room, man. So all of that noise, y'all can stop right here. Let this man build. Every place Urban Meyer has gone, he's turned them into winners. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in Jacksonville. I know he knows he has to turn out the noise sometimes. And right now, he should turn out that noise, because I think the moves he's made have been great moves. Speaking of dudes that have made some great moves, our guest coming up next on the MIP, he's been making great moves. He's the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Joining the MIP, man, he's one of the brilliant young minds in the National Football League right now, today. And what I love most about this brilliant coach is I love the journey. I love that he worked his way up. You know, he started off as a quality control coach. And folks, for all of you who don't know that, quality control means you just do whatever we need you to do. Where everybody have you doing whatever we need you to do, to a wide receiver coach, quarterbacks coach, offensive coordinator, and now the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan. Coach, I really do mean that, man. I think that's a big thing when you can work your way up and get an understanding of all the processes and all the people that you will be lead once you get to the top. That means you have connectivity with everybody you have to lead. Do you ever think about that process that you went through to get here?
Yeah, I do a lot, because that's why I try to tell everyone, any good thing or bad thing that you think's happening, you don't try not to label it, because it all helps you if you take it the right way. Some of the worst situations I feel like I've been in are some of the reasons I think I've become the coach I am, and I think I continue to get better. But it's, you know, I remember, you know, I obviously had an advantage getting this league that I had a dad who's worked in it his whole life and stuff, and I think that helps you maybe get an interview and stuff. It can help get you an opportunity. But I also know it kind of puts a little bit of a bullseye on your back, and like in any profession. And so I understand that you got to really prove yourself. And I remember when I got out of college and decided I wanted to coach, my dad was he's one of my best friends, and he's also really good at what he does. Right. So at first I'm like, man, I got to go learn from my dad, because all I've been trying to do is play. So everyone thinks I've been studying to coach, and I've been trying to be a player, and I'm not a player. So now I got to learn these secrets. And I remember him just telling me, like, Kyle, if you want, we'll work together one day, but you need to go other places if you want people to respect you. So I went to UCLA for a year. Then I went to Tampa for 2 years. Then I got a receiver job at Houston. Then I got the quarterback job. And then Mike Sherman left A&M, so I got to become the coordinator. And I did that for 2 years. And we were top five offense those years. We were 3-4, I think. And my dad got fired from Denver. And I remember that year he was out. Like, it hurt me. I was like, man, I want to work with my dad someday. And, man, I never thought he'd get fired like that. This might not be forever. So whenever he comes back, I'm working with him. And when he did, it was like, holy cow, now I'm with him. And no one in the league thinks I've ever even worked before. Like, as soon as you have a bad game, they're like, he went from quality control to coordinator. He's always been with the Broncos. I'd be like, guys, I've never worked with the Broncos. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right.
That stuff used to mess with me a lot. But it is what it is. Like, you know how hard you have to work, so you eventually got to block that stuff out. And me going through those experiences, going to Washington, going to Cleveland, going to Atlanta, going to here, you know, I've called plays in 4 different buildings. I've been in some good situations, some bad situations. I've been through a lot of stuff, and I didn't realize how much it helped me until, you know, I was with some other head coaches, like in Cleveland and Atlanta, who was their first time going through it, having to deal with media and stuff. And I'm like, man, this is nothing compared to what I've got as a coordinator sometimes. And then when I got to be it myself, everyone's waiting for a first year coach and how hard this would be. And I'm just like, and this has been a lot easier than some of my coordinator situations I've been in. And I feel very grateful for that. Some of the situations were rough, but when I look back, like, I would do it all over again, because it's what makes you better.
Coach, wait a minute, Coach. All of that I get, but then you say, well, you mean it's been a lot easier, Coach? You got hired there in 2017, and you in 2 years had that team in the Super Bowl by 2019. You know, that's not an easy thing to do. And you know, you rarely see stuff like that happen in the NFL.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a challenge when we got here, you know, just having to flip everything over, and, you know, how they had struggled a few years prior and having a lot of turnover with coaches. And, you know, that's what was so nice when I talked to Jed about how he envisioned the Niners and stuff, and what he just, the patience he said he was going to have and how we could do it the right way. And that's why we came in, and we weren't in, you're always in a rush. This is NFL, but you weren't going to skip any steps. And those first 2 years were tough, and kind of my plan thinking it would take, you know, the third year would be competitive and the fourth year we were going to make our run. And you could see by about a month into the third year, like, man, getting Bosa made a huge difference. Our guys are staying healthy. Our guys are coming together on offense. And as we, by the time we were 8-0, it was like, all right, here's our chance. And we did it. We got close. Just came up a little bit short, and now you're doing everything you can to get back.
Coach, you see what you said too. And I try to tell people about that, man. You got to be, because you get what you did. You talked about, hey, that third year, we caught fire. And you got to recognize, hey, we got a little blaze going. Let's feed the blaze and get what we can get out of it. And you did. You got to the Super Bowl. And that's such a key thing. You know, when you look at the schedule now, they just released the schedule. We just released it yesterday. You look at that schedule now. You go through, you got your situation now. What is the first thought that comes through your mind when you see that schedule, when you see San Francisco's schedule?
Opening up at Detroit. That's like, it's the first thing. That's what I always look. I just want to know our first game because that's the one I try to prepare for. And got our boy Aaron Glenn up there, so that I don't know what the hell he's going to do. So I got a lot of time to overthink it. See if he shows me everything in preseason. I'm just messing with Aaron. But that's usually what I think of as a coach because that's the first step ahead. Like my wife, when I get home, she dissects everything, tells me what a record's going to be, so do all my friends and stuff. And that's what I used to do a ton.
Right, right. Hey, Coach, everybody, too. You're not joking to Aaron Glenn. You're not joking. You're going to dissect everything he does in the preseason. You know, you're absolutely, you're monomaniacal about it like that. That's what makes you who you are. So go ahead. I just want to make sure they understood. You're jokingly not joking. You're going to
dissect. No, and he's going to be doing the same thing. Right. But it's, that's what all of us coaches do, and that's why sometimes you put a lot into preseason. Sometimes preseason is set up. So we have plenty of time to overthink everything. You just like till you get through those openers and it's like, all right, now let's play ball. Let's coach. Let's see what our players can do. And then the ride starts and you're on to the rest of the season. I mean, I've sat there and studied week 2, week 3 opponents before, and you do that stuff all the summer. By the time that week comes, that whole thing that I did is completely gone because our team was different than what I envision it now. And that changes every week. So like, that's why I don't dive into that schedule too much. Cause sometimes I thought we've had the easiest schedule in the world or that I've ever had. And then by week 3, the teams are a little different than they were the year before. And this is the hardest schedule. And sometimes vice versa, the league just changes too much and injuries happen too much that I don't worry about that stuff really till it gets here.
See, that's mastermind stuff too, Coach. You really talk about it. I had a plan for week 5. I learned early that plan for week 5, it never exists anymore in week 5 because there's growth on both sides, on the team that you had a plan for, on your own team. And there's so many moving things in an NFL season and dealing with an NFL team. That's why I marvel at head coaches, man. I just marvel at what you guys do, having to deal with all of those personalities and still get great things out of everybody. But do you look at the schedule sometimes like in clumps? Okay, like you start off 2 games on the road, you know, that's taxing on the body. Then I come back with 2 tough games at home. You know, do you look at them at clumps like that, thinking I want to get off to a good start? Because like you talked about earlier, if you can get a team that catch fire, whenever that team catches fire, you got a chance.
Yes, I've done it enough to where, you know, we started out 8-0. That's the best I've ever been on a team that started out, and we went to the Super Bowl. I started out on a team that was 5-0 and finished 8-8 and didn't make the playoffs. I've started on a team 3-6 that finished 10-6 and went to the playoffs. I've been on a team at 7-4, first in the division, and we finished 7-9 and didn't make anything. So it's like you just don't mess with anything. You know, you don't get too high, you don't get too low. You just go, and you know it's a hard business, and you know you're going to give it your all. And when the year's over, and hopefully it's in February, you just chill for about a month, and then you get that hunger coming back. But I don't try to overanalyze stuff that's going to change. I'm overanalyzing enough. So that stuff, you just like come to you. And that's gotten easier as I've gotten older, because you start to realize, man, you can't worry about things you can't control, and you have no idea what that situation is going to be until you get to that situation. So you better prepare for all angles. You better prepare your players and coaches for all angles, and you better be ready to not hesitate and adjust.
That 17th game that they got coming up this year, I think through, like how much more difficult does that make it for you, Coach, to have that 17th game? Or is it, that's a good advantage. I may have to
one day after transition court, give me another game in there to get evaluations in it. You know, what are your thoughts when you think about that 17th game?
I mean, it's stuff that you never could think about. Like, I mean, I think coaches feel the same as players. Like, no, 16's already too, like, we're barely hanging on. Like, right. So I think that's the feeling that everybody has at first. But I think for a few years now, we've all since said it's coming. So I've been expecting it eventually, and now it's here, and I'm ready to see how it is. Like, there's times that I've been in week 13 and I'm just like, how the hell are we going to get through this? Like, we're dropping out like flies. And then I've also had times like you start out the beginning of the year kind of banged up, going through all that stuff. Then you kind of just get that callus and you get to like week 12 and now it seems like no one's getting hurt and we can kind of play forever. And it has to do with how you're playing. If you're playing bad and guys are banged up, man, week 9 is starting to get pretty rough. But you know the vibe of a team, and when you're playing for something and when it's like that, right. You don't want it to end. And that's what was so hard about that Super Bowl. We knew how close it was. Everyone knows that. But it's only one game. It's not a 7-game series. And when that ends, it's just like, wait, no, there's more. Like, we got – and it's like, man, we got to wait till next year. And then you go into quarantine, and that was torture. So, like, that's just football season, man. And you got to go for it. And – going to be a lot of pressure on everyone, and you just go for it. Don't worry about people judging. Don't worry what happens. Just live with the consequences and be happy with how that you kept it real and did it your hardest.
Yeah, Jimmy used to tell us that, Coach. He said, especially after Thanksgiving, he said, man, we got a month left. He used to say this all the time, Coach Johnson. We should be able to do anything for a month. We, you know, it really does. It refires you up now because you've gone through that low. Like, hey, we just got to take one at a time when you get towards the end. Now, that'll be that extra game at the end, so you'll have to muster up some more for that. Coach, listen, I did the draft. I was right there on that red carpet. This dude come walking up to me. Whew, that's a good-looking dude, man. That's a great-looking. He's big, strong, young, great look, smart. I looked at his dad looked great. His little brother, he looks great. I was like, man, this Trey Lance, this dude looks great. You know what I mean? And is a smart kid. You caused a lot of ruckus when you went all the way up to 3.
In the draft, man.
And you took Trey Lance. Talk me through that process, Coach.
Oh, it was crazy. Just watching, I guess, the ruckus that you say, and that was definitely apparent. That's all a big deal when you trade draft picks and especially when it's involving a quarterback. And that's why, I mean, I love that it's a big deal because that means our sport's a big deal. And that's why our players, coaches, everyone makes good money in it. And so it's provided me a very good life from my parents growing up to what my kids get now. So I do love that stuff, but it is people lose their minds. Like, totally. I mean, just like I did when I was in high school and I was just so passionate about, and I call my dad, like, what the hell are you guys thinking? Like, you don't know what you're talking about, and hang up. And it's cool, but it's just funny to see. Like, we were working through the process and we made a decision first that we were going to get a quarterback this year. That was the decision. And then you got to look into how you get it. And then we looked how many people were in a very similar position, if not even stronger, because they didn't have a guy in their building at all that could do it like we have with Jimmy. So when you look into that and you look at the candidates, which I felt pretty early, there was ones that we would want at 12. And then you're sitting there like, man, I don't know if they're going to be there. What do we have to do to ensure how we want to do free agency, how we want to do it after, to where we know where we're going? It's not a maybe. And that's why at first we looked into 4. We looked into 5 trading up. They weren't options, but 3 was. And we had to make that decision, and we did, and we went with it. And then it was cool to have all that time to where, no, you may get that early. You're not going to set it in stone. We had an idea of who we wanted. We wouldn't have gone there if we didn't. But then you saw all the guys that you liked. And it was so cool to go through that process to where I could see on tape who I wanted, but then I could go meet them and see in person who I wanted. Right. And then I could go back and forth and try to match it all up and to see, all right, who do I believe in on the tape? Who do I believe in the person? Right. Who do you envision it going? Because it is all a guess. Like, that's the thing that, like, I'm not – my life circumstances and what I've been through and the experience I have to make a quarterback decision. Like, I'm going to depend on myself a lot. I'm going to listen to everybody, but like, I should depend on myself a lot. That still doesn't mean that I'm going to be right. Like, it's still an educated guess. And I watched everyone do it left and right. So you can't get too worked up about it and get your ego too involved. You got to do what you believe. And that's what I like in our building and stuff that, you know, it starts with our owner to our GM. I think to me and then to all the coaches that we aren't going to do things off perception and for right or for wrong, because this this business is too hard. We're going to try to do our best to make the best decision for our team, and then we'll live with it. And that's what was funny, just watching how many people are mad at us or happy with us because of a decision that they say that we've made that we haven't made or that we haven't told anyone. And that's just, you learn a lot through it. You watch some people, I just haven't been in a position for that long where you know something that other people don't. I mean, I've been in for a couple of days, but not that long. And it's just, you just watch people and like, man, they need to relax. It's not even that deal. But it's, you can't tell anyone because you don't, I mean, we were pick three. We weren't pick one. Like anything can change. And this league is, it's too competitive. So you just had to sit back and just watch it happen. And it is what it is. I'm glad we got our guy. And I'm glad I would do it all over again because it, you know, it's who we liked at the beginning, but it made you stronger through the end. And we liked some other guys too, but when it was all said and done, I'm pumped how it ended up.
Coach, it says something. I mean, I heard something in there because, you know, we're all human. Yeah, and we all hear it. And all of us have that desire to find affirmation and confirmation, you know, and you hear people like, wait a minute, we're not even going in this direction. Why do I have to take this beat down? And I'm not even taking that dude, or you know what I'm saying? You just have to take it, man, which I find fascinating sometimes. But the bold thing was the bold thing, and you said it in the statement. You guys went up and got a guy, and you had a guy that had already gotten you to a Super Bowl, and Jimmy. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. I mean, what made you just take that bold step?
Mainly just the experience of these last 3 years. You know, it's something that, you know, you look into after the Super Bowl, and Jimmy's played 1 year, and for him to do what he did in 1 year just shows you it's not a finished product. He can get so much better. But in the other 2 years we played with him, and he's gotten hurt, you know, our season's shut down a little bit, which happens to a lot of teams when you lose a good quarterback. And just watching the quarterbacks are going around the league this year, watching our division, that wasn't, for right or for wrong, that wasn't something we were going to risk this year. And you look into it last year, you look at people like Tom and stuff, and the people were available, and you know, we had a real good quarterback. So you make a risk, you stay with that, and it doesn't work out because of an injury, nothing Jimmy can control, but you watch what that does to your team. And regardless of what happens, we made a decision in January, we're not going to do that again. And we're going to have a guy here, and we hope Jimmy comes back. And if Jimmy does and plays at a high level, which he's always has done when he's played, that's a very good problem for us to have. And we'll deal with that when that happens. And I hope it happens, but if not, at least we know all our eggs are in one basket. And it's just tough when you got a team going a certain direction and what's happened to us. And we're not going to do that. And I'm glad that we got a guy here that, you know, the pressure's not on him right away. But this is the NFL. And so the pressure really is always on you. And I think that kid can handle it. I think he's coming in doing it the right way. And I love that Jimmy's here because it can just happen naturally. And we'll see when he's ready. Everyone will know when he's ready. And when he is, it'll be a fun competition.
So you're saying, because you're saying this competition will happen naturally. You don't have any set plans on, okay, our bye is in week six. Jimmy's going to play the first five games after the bye, maybe try to work Trey Lance in. You haven't thought through any of that. You're just going to let it play out.
Yeah, definitely. And I haven't, you know, we get on the field with Trey for the first time tomorrow. So that's the first time I'll see him throw in person, not counting a pro day. So we'll throw him out with some rookies and give him a little 7-on-7 and stuff. And then I'll hop in with the team on Monday. And I'm just pumped to get an OTAs. And to have an OTAs is what really helps, because for the first time in 2 years, we can teach a system, can have players go through it. We don't have to make any final decisions. We don't have to say, hey, who's in front today, tomorrow. It doesn't matter. We'll reassess at the end of training camp. I mean, at the end of OTAs and at every position, quarterback and all. Then when they come to training camp, what's our plan now based off of OTAs? All right, is there a competition? No, let's keep letting it go in the same way. And we'll see how it plays out. And that's what's cool about our situation. That's where I don't feel pressure from anybody in having to decide that. Our players won't. The type of building we have, the way Jimmy is as a person, the way Trey is as a person, it's going to be competitive. It's not going to be awkward. And I think it'll bring out the best in everyone.
So you're saying, I'll button it up with this. You're saying that somehow if Trey comes in when you start seeing him tomorrow and he's
off the charts, and he's well within that ability to be off the charts. He looks like incredible on the field. He looks incredible in practice. There's a chance that Trey can right now win the starting job as the quarterback.
Yeah, there's a chance. There's a chance for that at every single position on our team. So there definitely is the way that you're saying that about Trey. I'm not trying to give Florio some big headline that he makes an annoying statement out of. Hell yeah, there is. I think that'll be very hard. Jimmy's a really good quarterback. He's not just coming in and trying to take out some bridge quarterback or something. Jimmy is a guy who we brought here to be our franchise quarterback, and it really worked out for 1 year. And it doesn't mean it can't work out. We just hope he stays healthy. But Trey has that ability too. But he's played really 1 year of college football. He missed all last season. So it's not coming in at all me expecting that to happen. I don't know what I expect. I expect him to be a real good player. I don't know if it's going to be this week, next week, or next year, but I expect him to be a real good player. And that's about where it ends. And we'll see when he proves that he should be out there. And man, if one of our undrafted free agent pass rushers comes in and they're better than Bosa, he'll play over Bosa in week one too. But doesn't mean I think that's going to happen.
highly.
If it does, we will.
So. Yeah. And I'll get back to that Bosa tough right quick. And I like the way you button that up to tie that in with that right there. But Coach, you said something when you talked about how, you know, I've always said that a man's opinion is only as good as his knowledge based on the subject. Don't tell me to take everybody's opinion and they don't have any knowledge on the subject. So you know quarterbacks, you know, when you're picking quarterbacks, there's physical capabilities. Of course, there's that shoulders up mental capabilities. But how much do you lean to, I mean, the personality, the attitude of a quarterback? You know, if a guy's a guy that brings guys together or you know what I mean, a leader guy, how much of that matters when you are selecting your kind of quarterback?
I think it matters a lot, but not – I don't even really want to talk about it until I know that they have the – I always use an analogy. It takes a certain skill set to get invited to the club that we're all in. And so you got to have a certain talent to be in that club. And now that's the NFL. Now, once you're in that club, now you especially go to the quarterbacks, like what does it take to be successful? And there are so many things. It starts with being able to throw. You have to be a certain thrower on the planet to be in the league. If you're not one of those throwers, you got to have some other skill set that is very high, which usually goes to athletic ability. Sometimes guys are just, yeah, they might not have the best arm, but they never get sacked. They know how to get rid of the ball. They can distribute well. Man, they are really good for three games, but it'll catch up with them eventually. Some guys can come in and make a ton of plays for three games, but eventually they'll get shut down because they can't truly play the position. So you're trying to get all that, which is what you see on tape. And then, but you're never going to see it ideally in college. You know, it's not NFL level. That's different schemes, whatever. There's lots of variables. So you got to take in what you see on tape. Now, what's the person? There's going to be more pressure on this guy, whoever that is at the quarterback position, to me, than anyone in sports. Because it's not that people don't know. And you're watching on TV with a bunch of people around. You're not watching how the guard's always blocking the three technique. What's going on in the secondary, how the defense played. Like, the quarterback is blamed for winning and losing. I think it's so funny when they say, you know, Tom Brady is going versus Patrick Mahomes or something like that. Like, no, they're just playing offense, you know? And so it's who can handle all that. You want to know the guy who, the personality, the way his mind works, how he, what's important to him, what's his why? How does he relate to his teammates, to people? All that stuff goes into how you're going to handle it when everyone in the world tells you how bad you are. And that's going to happen whether you're bad or whether you're the best quarterback to ever play the game. They're going to tell you that, and it will happen every season. And that's a lot to deal with if you're not made of the right stuff. You got to have the talent, but you got to be made of the right stuff. And being made of the right stuff is not being a leader like they would tell you in a movie, that you got to get all the guys together and whatever that is. It's being yourself, and people respect you. And they respect how hard you're working, how important it is to you. Not that you're just trying to earn a check or not get cut, because you're going to do whatever you can for this team, because it's more than that. You love football. Like, you are passionate about it. And if that's the case, like, people don't want to let people down who it means a lot to, especially the quarterback. Like, Tom Brady to me is the best leader just by how he's carried himself his whole career, but more importantly, because everyone knows he's committed his life to it. So who cares how he acts? They know he's committed his life to it, and he plays at a high level. Right. Every person who goes in that building, to me, isn't going to let that dude down. From Mike Evans to the backs to the defensive guys are like, man, we can't – I don't want to come in out of shape. Look at Tom over there, man. He's 44. And that dude is – man, we can't let him down. Like, that's a leader to me. I don't need Tom to go yell at him. Maybe he will. That'd be awesome. I don't know. I haven't been on Tom's team. But that's the type of stuff that – there's lots of ways to be a leader, but it's more out of respect. And that starts with your talent, and then it starts what you're willing to give up.
You're absolutely right, Coach. And if Tom did yell at him, they'll receive it the right way because, like you said, they know that's his life. He ain't playing with this. That's his life, man.
And that's probably why he doesn't have to yell at him because they know his intentions. They're like, all right, I got you, Tom.
Right. So, it works that way. I used to hear people see me going up and down the sideline. He'd say, I tell a young receiver one time, I say, hey, man, if you ever see me, I'm not saying I gotta make sure I'm making plays. So I'm telling them, let's go make plays with me. If I'm doing that and I'm not making plays, then it sounds like I'm saying, I need you to go make plays instead of me. And people don't buy that. You know, they'll come with me. Like, so you know what I'm saying? So I got to be out there balling before I can come and say anything. You know what I mean? Or it's received incorrectly. Coach, hey, you talk about wanting it, wanting to be great and all those things. You want to be great at what you do, and you are great at what you do. And you put San Francisco in a place now, this back-to-back years, they've had five prime time games. That's the max that the league gives out, Coach. You know, that makes you that says something. That says something when you're getting that kind of coverage. And then every time any rumor breaks, you're linked to it. The Aaron Rodgers rumor. Aaron Rodgers going to San Francisco. You're linked to it, man. Right now we're in the Julio Jones world. He's going to San Francisco. You're linked to it. So how do you handle all of these rumors? Are they rumors?
Those are all rumors. Of course, I can't talk about other players, but those are it's similar to the draft stuff. That's why I don't get mad at people. If I was paid to talk about stuff, about sports every day, like – And people that good players who people are saying might be traded, whether it's salary cap, whatever it is, and they played for other people, I would throw that out there. I would throw anything out there. You got to talk about it all day. So it's a lot of speculation and there's lots of rumors. I've been in this league way too long to understand like how all those come. That's what was cool about for me personally, watching a lot of people I know in the business for a month and a half. Some people would state it's their opinion with who we're drafting. Some people would state, no, I know this is the source and I knew the truth. And so you could see, all right, what people are just giving their opinion and trying to guess, because that's what everyone's doing, or what people are trying to make it sound like they have a source and it's, I'm sure they're not lying, but I'm sure that's a source of a source of a source because I know that's BS. And so you just start to watch how people work and the pressure on everyone in that way. And you don't take it personal, but that's also why you don't see me do a lot of stuff. Like you asked me, I don't like to go on podcasts and stuff, not because I don't like to talk, because there's too much stuff that's out there that you address stuff every time. And then you see when I address stuff, I usually tell the truth. And then it gets printed everywhere. And it's just like, all right, I can't do that every day. Like, and so I'm going to lay low till I have to talk. And then if something's up, I'll answer anybody, whatever they want to ask. I got nothing to hide, but you can't go out and address every rumor or you're going to be talking 20 times a day.
Hey, 20 times a day. It's so funny. You're telling me earlier that you had your father calling you saying, did you hear what these people are saying out here?
Well, the funniest thing, that's what we were talking about before we get on, but like with my dad, like me growing up, you know, when I was in high school and stuff, I listened to sports talk radio. Like I was a sports fan. Like that's what me and my friends did. You know, I'd read the two articles in the paper on Monday, bad about my dad or whatever. But like, I liked sports. Like when football season was over, I did the same thing with basketball. So I kind of always had an idea that my dad's been oblivious for that his whole life, like, because he didn't grow up doing that stuff. And so it was so funny when he retired, and he just was at home all the time. So he started learning how to go to an internet site, go to ESPN.com, go to Pro Football, just to go to it and read stuff. And he was fascinated. Like it's never happened before. And I remember him calling me like, Kyle, you don't know what it's like out here. And I'd be like, Dad, I have a much better idea. Like, I know you're getting shocked by it because you never looked at it, but yeah, it is that bad. I'm like, Dad, it was that bad when you were coaching too. It's good you didn't know. That's probably what allowed you to stay on track. That's why I've learned, which I've had to learn, because I know how much it messes you up, that now I'm more like my dad. I've learned that, like, if you listen to that stuff, which I grew up listening to it, and then I got into coaching, and I'm like, yeah, they're talking good about me. That feels good. Oh, they're talking bad about me. That feels real. And you realize, oh my God, I don't do this to feel good or bad. I do this because I like coaching. I got to stop listening to this stuff because it messes with you. And then when my dad started to see about it, it was just hilarious. He's like, I mean, this stuff. And I'm like, Dad, don't. That's been going on for a long time. Like, I'm like, if you would have known what they said about you when you're in Washington, you wouldn't have liked it either. So don't tell me about it. And he's like, I gotcha. You're right. But it's just funny. Coaches don't know. I used to make fun of my dad growing up that, you know, whatever popular movie was out, like in high school, I think like Titanic was the one that made the most money. I'd tell one of my friends, ask him what movie, if he's seen Titanic. And they'd ask him, and he'd have no clue what they're talking about because he was just so in this football world and his regiment of his schedule, which I am too, which my harder thing now is you get updates and stuff. That's why I don't have an email. That's why I don't do that stuff because I'm trying to avoid it. If I'm bored, I'll probably do it when I'm done coaching because I like sports, but I don't like to do stuff that make you not focus on your job. And that's kind of the same thing I say to my kids. So I watch being obsessed with my daughter texts someone or she wrote something, she didn't get a like back, or I don't even understand it all, the Snapchat stuff. And I'm just like, look how consumed you are with it. Like, that's not going to make you happy. Like, and that's the whole world. So you got to realize what good it brings, what bad. And in our profession, reading about yourself because of your job, it isn't a good thing if they're telling you how good you are or if they're telling you how bad you are, because that isn't why you're doing it. So stay away from it.
It's a gig, coach. I don't care what anybody say, man. I always tell people top 33 positions. I'll give you one as POTUS, but from 2 to 33, NFL head coaches. I'm talking about the most stressful positions in the world right there from 2 to 33, man. And coach, you really do, man. You do a great job at it, man. I can't even think. I think about even the future that you have. You got the young Trey Lance with Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and George Kittle. So much talent on that. So much young talent. Now I can't tell. I swear I can't. I love Julio Jones. I love Julio Jones. I don't care what anybody be saying. I don't know why. I said, man, you got to be crazy to get rid of Julio Jones. Julio Jones is the guy that me and God argues about. I said, why you gave him all that, God? You couldn't give me some of that speed, you know? That's how. And he had his best years with you, coach. So you can understand some of the speculation. In 2 years, he had 219 grabs, 3,250 yards. That's a lot of stuff right there. So you can see why people connect him with you. What do you think when you see that? Do you not think about those 2 years you guys had together?
Oh, you're going to get me in trouble to say, like,
okay.
Julio Jones, for everybody, and especially if you got a chance to coach him, he's what you're saying and more. I mean, yeah. The dude is one of a kind. He makes coaching a lot easier. That's why everyone feels the same about Julio. Yeah. That's why I don't worry about saying that. That's like common knowledge. Everyone knows Julio is on a different level. And that's why he's a special guy. And I don't know what their situation is, but I do know who everyone feels that way about Julio. If people are repeating stuff, it's just because they haven't watched him. Watch him and any person will see it from themselves. Like, he is a different dude.
Yeah, I say that too, coach. So you and I...
I've had two like that. I've had a lot of good receivers.
Who was the other one you say you had like that? The Julio?
Julio's different than everyone. But the guy that closest to him was Andre Johnson.
Okay.
Andre was my first guy. I was a receiver coach with Andre. It was 26, him and E. Moltz. And it was an awesome group. So I got to coach them for a couple of years. And Dre's my guy. And Dre was the first Julio that I had been around. And now you got Julio. Then you look at guys like DK and stuff, and they're like, how many more of these guys are coming? Like,
yeah. they are phenomenal. And how that has evolved, man. You know, from the big guy in having a small, fast guy to the big guy being actually the fast guy. You know what I mean? The way that's evolved. Coach, I know I've been holding you longer than I didn't even expect to get you, coach. But before I let you go, we talked about it here and there, the importance of Nick Bosa coming back, man, for this football team. Tell me about that.
It's huge. I mean, just there's lots of good players in this league, and Nick's only played 1 year. But I think everyone saw the type of player he is now and that he was his rookie year. Everyone saw that in college. Like he didn't play a ton then. I mean, missing that last year and stuff. But like when you have a guy at that level and there's not a ton of them, it changes who you are. It's, you know, not comparing these guys, but the type of level guys are. Like if the Rams don't have Aaron Donald, that's going to be different. If Denver loses Von Miller, it's going to be different. There's just guys on the D line that there's a few that are different. How JJ Watt was in Houston, like that's, it changes everything. And when you can get good players around people like that and you can have a good scheme, it's tough to mess with because there's not people in the league that can block those guys. You can hold on and you can try to scheme and stuff so you limit the opportunities. But those dudes aren't getting blocked. It's a matter of time. So you better make sure it's not a one-dimensional game. You better make sure they're playing run, playing pass, playing play action, playing keepers, because if not, if those dudes tee off, it's over. They will. That's when they'll get the MVP.
Coach, I appreciate you taking the time, man. And I watched that young Nick Bosa since high school, man. He's been a beast for a long time, man. He fell in the right hands, man, with you and John Lynch over there. Coach, good luck this season, buddy.
All right, Michael. Appreciate it, man. Enjoyed it.
All righty, man. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Take care.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com. Today. That's Geico.com.
What's better than courtside seats? Free sports on Pluto TV. Hey, sports fans, get all your sports free on Pluto TV. Pluto TV is your home for sports. Watch 24/7 channels of MLB, MLS, MMA, sports news and analysis, plus documentaries, TV shows, and movies, all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts, ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
7 years ago, college wrestler Damien Hurd disappeared from a party in Gunnison, Colorado.
Everyone had been drinking or whatever, the usual party scene.
When, how, and why he left are questions I need your help to understand.
Nobody's heard from him.
No, it's just like he disappeared.
From Cold Case Productions and Podcast One, Final Days on Earth, The Life and Death of Damien Hurd. I'm your host, Claire Sanimal. Join me April 20th for the season premiere.